Episode 322 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast brought to you by DRF Sports. We get one, not two, but one of the Murray twins back. That's going to help Iowa basketball next year. Dallas Clark inducted into the Iowa Hall of Fame. Waiting for Drake to get that call. And we talk about the XFL, Crumble Cookie, Kevin's diet, some other questions and answers. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 322 of the dumbest podcast on earth that I am honestly quite glad for because it gives me the opportunity to sit down with two of my best friends, talk about things that we enjoy, and make fun of each other, make fun of other people, and have a good laugh. So if this podcast is good for nothing else, hopefully it makes your week better by lightening your mood. Kluver, what's up, pal?
Nothing much. Just love seeing Kev's face. And I miss him.
Do you though?
A little bit, yeah.
You do? Yeah. My soul, because of how much my life misses our relationship, because not very many people poke me and prod me and rev me up to the point where of anger that you do on a consistent basis.
True.
And I need that balance and stability in my life. People are too nice to me these days in my life, and it doesn't feel right. I need the sarcastic Kevin to anger me and add flair to the day.
Are you saying I complete you?
Yeah, I'm kind of saying you complete me.
I miss you two assholes too. Either you guys come back for the alumni event next week? I already know Drake's not. Kluver,
I don't believe so. I will not.
All right, well, fuck you guys too.
I've got a CrossFit competition next weekend. So I'll let you know that Cole Fish will also not be going because he is my partner.
And I believe next weekend, the Megan Pleva and Adam Cox will be in town for, and maybe like Wiseman for Cox's bachelor party. So going to get to go out and have a good time with those guys again, which will be an absolute pleasure.
That's going to be a shit show. Absolute shit show. I mean, Kev, the night we were at Wiseman's house, just their house, and Cox came back from the bar and he was trying to make sure, I mean, God bless his soul for trying to make sure that the freshmen were okay. Kevin and I, at this point, completely sober.
No, we aren't.
Oh, we weren't?
No.
Well, we were.
Oh, it was completely sober.
Oh, well, we were in much better shape than Cox was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we actually remember the night.
Give me the phone. Give me the phone. Let me talk.
I want to talk to him. It's just Bo. Let me talk to him.
Let me talk to him. Cox was a thumb when he went out downtown. Cox is built like a thumb, bro. That boy don't have no neck. That boy was built to be a fullback. It's crazy that he's small now. It's crazy how many of our teammates are small now, including us. Honestly, Drake, you're one of them. Kev, Drake's strength coach at the gym once suggested that they try and bring him down to 155 for a fight.
How?
That's what I said.
Bro,
can you imagine, Kevin, if at any point I could physically make it on the scale at 155, they'd be in trouble.
I don't know. I think he'd be dead.
My dude.
You mean 36 hour recharge?
But what are you're walking around like what, 190 these days?
Yeah, but you gotta
you have another 40 pounds to
lose? I don't
lose?
Diet at all. Well, no, I'd only have to lose 15 pounds. And then the 20 pounds is an absolutely horrendous water cut, but one that I honestly have in me because of how obscenely hydrated I walk around. I always walk around. Like when I'm weighing in at training, I'm at my absolute most hydrated I could be.
I don't know. I don't know about it.
All right. So what are we weighing this? Is this for MMA? Is this for jiu-jitsu? Or
would be for MMA. Yeah. This would be for MMA.
Okay. And for me and everyone else, how long after weigh-ins is the fight usually? Is it the next day?
I would need a 30. If I was going to cut to 155, I would need a 36-hour recharge.
See, like, doesn't that kind of like defeat the purpose of the weight limits?
Drake and I had this exact conversation on DHT.
Yes, 100%. And I agree with you 100%. But they haven't outlawed weightlifting or added a hydration standard like high school wrestling. And until they do at the world class level, guys are just going to keep cutting weight the way they do. Unless MMA implemented more weight classes like boxing, because boxers don't have to cut nearly as much weight.
See, this is from someone who's completely naive to basically the entire sport. In my opinion, it should be the weight of what you're going to fight at, right? You should have to step on the scale, step in the ring. We're both under 190 right now. We're going.
Call it. Hey, I'm with you 100%, dude. Then it would give guys the opportunity to train even harder in camp because they wouldn't be cutting the weight. You would see guys, they're more peak max in the ring because, or in the octagon, whatever they're fighting in, because they didn't just go to war with their body for the past 24 hours trying to drain it of every ounce of fluid it's got in it.
Yeah, seriously.
Speaking of fluid, you got a Fairlife in your hand. Is there by chance that you are washing down Crumble Cookie at all?
He's going to town on it too. Those last two pulls, I think he's taken half the bottle.
Yeah, I mean.
So listen to this, dude. Right now I am on a strictly Fairlife and taco truck diet because four driveways down from my house, there is an unbelievable taco truck that makes that makes a $7 out the door burrito. $7 out the door in 2022 for a steak burrito that goes to work.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What are you paying for toilet paper these days? Because milk and tacos and burritos exclusively just sounds like your toilet's been getting a workout like none other.
Do you want to know the truth, Kevin?
No, I don't think I do. I regret asking already.
This morning, I told Kaylee I had to wipe my ass 10 times throughout the morning. Kevin, you want to know the truth? I went to the gym and took wet toilet paper to my asshole to make it number 11 before I trained.
My dude, exactly. Your butthole is just leaking. It's a leaky faucet right now. Eat some fucking vegetables. Damn.
Kev's sad. Kev's nutritional side is sad.
That's disgusting, dude.
On the flip side of that, Kevin, what did your meals look like today? What did the nutritional life of Kevin Ward look like on June? It's fucking June. Wow. June 1st.
June 1st of 2022. I woke up, made my pre-workout shake. Then I had breakfast of a banana, some blueberries, a couple pieces of toast with some avocado on there and two eggs and some orange juice.
Goddamn avocado. Dude, you feast every morning, huh?
That's a typical morning breakfast.
Nothing has changed.
The avocado is a treat yourself kind of day. I usually have one avocado throughout the week. So, you know, 2 days of the week, I'll get some avocado on there.
Drake, he feasts, dude, every morning.
That's Kevin, a typical morning.
Kevin does much better at breakfast than I do, mate. Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a couple pieces of toast. I mean, you're torquing down at least 1,000 calories at breakfast, huh?
Oh, with the avocado on there for sure.
Yeah, especially with the avocado. And then when is your next calories come into play?
Lunch.
And that's around what time?
Depends on the day, honestly. Today was a little bit afternoon.
And what was lunch today?
I had some mashed potatoes, a chicken breast, and some broccoli.
I love this.
It was weird that he led with mashed potatoes because I thought he was going main course mashed.
What if he was just like,
mashed potatoes is great stuff.
Mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, and fried chicken. Oh, yeah. Went to KFC. Do you get afternoon calories or are you a three-meal guy?
Honestly, it depends. Like sometimes, like my days are all different with work, where I'm at, what I'm doing. Sometimes I eat breakfast intending to eat lunch at home, and then I don't get that opportunity. So I just have breakfast and then dinner.
I'm going to assume you haven't had dinner yet.
I have not had dinner yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends. Usually it's three meals with a couple snacks in there. Maybe a dessert.
How often are you eating a steak?
A steak.
Like what's steak? Like what's your protein for dinner tonight?
It's going to be chicken.
You eat a lot of chicken.
I eat like 90% of the time chicken. Yeah.
So, all right. Are you buying mass chicken breasts from?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Buying in bulk. Yep.
15 a week.
No, it's usually one a day. You probably averages out to one a day.
All right. I'm just curious. I just wanted to know what it looked like from our time at Iowa. And the answer is nothing's changed.
No, not much has changed.
Not a goddamn thing has changed. There's a lack of grays in there, obviously, which is unfortunate, but, speaking of, hopefully we get the man, the myth on the podcast soon. We're going to try and get old Pete on the pod. As you guys have heard tons of times at this point, about Pete and Kim, and, we won't have to talk much that episode because Pete does that just fine himself. So
Pete can talk, man. But Pete's a great guy. I think the fans would actually love to hear his perspective about feeding.
Oh, I plan on going headstrong into all of the back end details of feeding Iowa. Yeah,
I want to know if they have like statistics on like how much beef do you bring to a dinner or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they for sure do because they've been perfecting their menu and their orders for however long.
I mean, yeah, they've been feeding us since
2016. 16?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't hear you. I don't think he is on mute. He just hit it quickly.
You hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
I think they came in 2015 because they were the reason that we went undefeated.
Yeah, that's right. Because the meal thing changed in 2014, right?
Yeah. Shout out Shabazz.
Shout out Shabazz. We didn't have him at first, and then we had him later. So yeah, I think you're right,
Drew. You're right.
Yeah.
It wasn't the entirety of 2015, but very quickly into that offseason. Yeah.
I think it was that summer.
Yeah.
Summer of 2015.
God, do you remember that?
They brought chicken lips, and the guys were ecstatic about them.
Do you remember?
Coach Doyle caught wind and he was pissed about it.
Pissed. Do you remember that shift from, I distinctly remember in my mind going, like having the conversations with you guys, because we were all walk-ons at that point still. I was like, guys, we're eating for free. We're getting away with it. It felt so different than the first 2 years. It was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I can take all this food.
Okay. We get all of this?
Yeah.
Dude, the little things, man.
Actually, it kind of...
That wasn't a little thing at all.
That was a very big thing. It brings into mind how bullshit it was that we were paying for meals in the first place.
Dude, that's pretty bad.
Like, the entire team gets to go eat. Walk-ons, you can come here, but you got to pay for it.
It was... There was definitely a little segregation aspect to that.
Yeah. And honestly, that was like how some people found out that I was a walk-on.
Same. Like, yeah. When people would see me swipe my card, they'd be like,
what are you doing?
Like, dude, you've been starting for 2 years. Dude, I fucking know. I don't know what to tell you. Dr. KF. That was so big time. And then like initially it was like all the places. Yeah, it was like wild. It was sort of like NIL. It was just wild west. Like they just rang it in anybody they could who would come in and cater a meal. And it was like, yeah, like Kate, whatever you want. Yeah, fuck it. Bring it in. Great. I mean, all I needed was Gray's to bring those little soft cookies and Hawaiian sweet rolls and then whatever they were serving for their main course. And that was good.
I don't know where Gray's got their fruit in the middle of December, but they always had great fruit.
Grapefruit.
I was a big fan of their fruit selections.
Do you guys know the XFL is coming back in 2023?
Who's paying for it?
The Rock.
Why?
I don't know. He bought the XFL and he's bringing it back. And they partnered with Nick Novak, former kicker for the Jets for some time, I believe, and some other people, to find the specialists. And he sent out a registration or application form to be considered for the 2023 XFL draft class. And I submitted my application.
No, you didn't.
I absolutely did.
100% believe that. Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah. In fact, I saw it at, it was last week. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. I was laying in bed and I filled it out right there and submitted it.
Tell me you would truly move to another city and play in the XFL.
I don't think the chance is zero.
What's the XFL paying?
I have no idea, but simply in lieu of the dollar signs for free, I would love to go and, you know, I have the means. I can work from, and I don't know how long the season is. Maybe it's a month. Maybe it's 2 months, but whatever it lasts. I can work from anywhere. Lauren's going to fucking hate me. It is what it is. But what if I go hang out and play for the fucking, I don't know, what are the team names? I'm not even sure. How sick would that be if I played in the XFL? What if I got drafted?
You know, it would make a fun, fun side plot to this podcast.
That's the only reason I'm doing it.
It'd be good content.
The content,
you
bro.
You couldn't pay me enough to subject myself to that bullshit, but...
Yes, you could.
But it's different for me.
You're going to tell me you're not going to take NFL money?
Well, I'd take NFL money. Jeez.
Yeah, so don't tell the listeners you couldn't pay me enough.
If the Titans came to you right now, Drake, and said, hey, could you be...
Hey, we need you.
Hey, we know you can almost beat up Frank, so will you play for us?
Could you be 235 in 6 months and run yourself into a wall or two? We'll pay you 700 grand.
No, got to make it a million. Well,
they're not going to
pay for playing for no less than seven figures. I'm a veteran now. I'm 27.
You're a rookie, dude.
You're a rookie.
You're a fucking. Listen, you're expendable rookie. And you're a rookie.
You don't matter. You're gonna be carrying some kid's pads who's 23 and been in the league for 3 years already.
Yeah.
See, then you already know I can't carry another man's pads.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't.
I'm not just going to bend over and carry some other man's pads. Not going to happen. I'd look at him and tell him to respect his fucking elders, and we'd get in a fist fight, and I would win.
And you're going to get cut the next day.
And oh, well.
Drake's cut. I just want to let you know that you could be seeing me in the XFL soon. Probably.
Do you even know what cities they're in?
Well, let's figure it out. I mean, we've got the blank space cut in the post-production for a reason. XFL 2023 teams.
Oh, you guys been watching any of the USFL?
I watched a little bit.
What are your thoughts?
My jiu-jitsu coach, Bo, asked me why the XFL looked so bad. And he said, okay, I watched a whole game yesterday and it's official. I'm trying out for the USFL next year.
So they're gonna, it appears that they'd be keeping their five teams in the original location: the DC Defenders, St. Louis Battlehawks, Dallas Renegades, Houston Roughnecks, and Seattle Dragons. Following through with the Vipers' proposed move to Orlando and adding two new teams in San Antonio and Las Vegas.
Yeah, you're going to end up in San Antonio, dude.
Dude, I'm pretty sure the St. Louis Battlehawks, before the league went under 3 years ago or whatever, had Stoops as their coach. I could make a few calls now if I really wanted to make a few calls. Hey, coach, you want a Hawk? You want a Hawk guy on your team? A long snapper action? Hey, you think the XFL is going to test? The Rock is the fucking owner.
0%
chance. They ain't testing. I'm going on fucking Diana Ball. And I'm going to be this shredded right now, except for I'm adding 20 pounds of lean mass.
All right. So XFL players are going to get paid $1,000 a game.
It's not great.
I don't know how many games they're planning on playing, but yeah, it's
for long
snapping though. That's not bad.
Almost
that's like $200 a play, basically.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad for you. It's not bad definitely, for your means.
Definitely would have taken that at Iowa.
I am not playing linebacker for that, though.
I don't think any other position is worth it.
Kicker.
Well, other than specialist. Yeah, it says here, XFL salary. It's not great, man. Biweekly payment amounts of 2080 divided by two for participating in one game. Every player will receive a sum no matter what outcome the game is. There is a victory bonus. There is a victory bonus. How do you... So they've tried to do it, right? A couple of years ago, it was the AAFL or whatever. The XFL has been around back and up again. The USFL. Is there any way for football to get a farm system like basketball and baseball has that can sustain itself?
Yeah, it's called college football.
But I'm with Kevin right there. There is no professional farm system. No way.
I get it, but I'm saying there's also college baseball and college basketball, but there's a different in football. It just has to be college football.
Well, yeah, it's just a different sport, man. Your shelf life for 90% of the positions is a lot shorter than in those other two sports.
You're right.
Basketball, 30 is, you're still in your prime in the NBA at 30.
It's true.
At 30 in the NFL, you're an old man, unless you're playing quarterback.
At 30 in the NFL, you're not in the NFL. Most people.
Oh, the vast majority of people are not playing it by the time they're 30. Yeah. It's so.
Baseball, you're just getting started.
It's so, like, after college, you don't really have. You maybe have 1 or 2 years tops before. After that, if you haven't made the NFL by then, NFL teams aren't going to take a second look at you.
The clock is short.
Yeah. And that's 2 years of playing a sport that's making your body just even worse.
I was going to say, it's the hardest just, sport to upkeep without
being. Yeah, you could, in theory, become a better player. You're pretty much physically maxed out by the time you're 22, 23, you're graduating college.
Yeah.
You could, in theory, increase your skills, get better, learn the game of football more. But I don't think that the payoff is equal to the investment of your deteriorating body over those
the juice ain't worth the squeeze is what Kevin's saying.
Yeah, and I probably agree with him. Then that leads me to the final question. Is there anything that can make those leagues sustainable?
No. Sustainable how? Like there's always going to be people that are going to play. Like there's simply no shortage of people that want to go play in the
U.S. Not sustainable as like, hey, we can't find guys to fill the league. Like, hey, we can sustain 5 or 10 years where we have TV contracts and actually paying guys salaries and there's enough money to
praying keep. That Americans' addiction to sports betting and football in particular keeps the viewership alive.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's not a matter of what the teams do. It's a matter of you can get fans interested enough, and Drake hit it on the head. It's not going to happen without sports betting, I don't think. You can't just plop a team here and say, name a town without a football, Des Moines. You can't just put a football team in Des Moines and tell the people, you have to love this team and attend all the games now.
I know. So would it be cool if like mid-game we do some mid-game interviews and we're telling them like, hey, by the way, the line on your receiving yards this game is 45. So, you know, if we start implementing that into the broadcast, is that going to catch fire a little bit? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what the ratings are. I've only watched a couple of games, and it's honestly not good football.
It's boo-boo football.
It's bad.
It's bad. Like,
what can you expect, though? Because these teams don't have the resources of fucking Division III teams.
Right, of anything. It would be so funny. Like, I could just imagine Drake being on the sideline and they're like, Drake, Kulik here, mid-game interview. The fans at home have picked a prop bet and they say on the next run play with you as the lead blocker that there's 2-1 odds that you drive them off the football field. And I could just like, you're just giving like incentive mid-game for players to do shit that doesn't necessarily matter, but you're just turning it into the ultimate entertainment. Like,
it would be funny if
now you're on to
paid out on their prop bets.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you win for the American people, you also get
Yeah.
$200.
You take 1%.
And I go into the locker room at halftime and get on my app and bet my own prop.
Yes. Yes. And they show you doing it. Like, will there be a player that makes a TikTok in the middle of the game on the field? Yes or no? Like, just it'd be fucking amazing.
Yeah, but it's I personally have not been watching it just because it's not very high quality football.
No, it isn't. Someone who did play high quality football is old Bally Clark, and he's getting inducted into the Iowa Hall of Fame. Got posted in the Discord. The tweet that was from the Iowa football account. It was a Zoom meeting between Dallas and KF. KF's camera was not centered. Shocker. And it was Dallas and KF talking. I highly recommend you go and watch that because why not? It's content. And good for Dallas. Although I don't know what the qualifications are there. I don't know if
get voted in.
It's just voted in. Because it's not like his college stats were like crazy, you know.
He just had like one insane year, I think, right?
In 02, he had a good year in 01, 540 yards, 4 touchdowns. And then the next year in 02, he had 750 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, I mean, and I looked it up because I was curious. I was like, damn, like that doesn't sound like Hall of Fame stats if that's the only qualification. Noah, by comparison, in his final two seasons had 500 yards and 11 touchdowns, and then 520 yards and 7 touchdowns. So I mean, if we're talking just numbers here, like Noah's a Hall of Famer too in 15 years, but
yeah.
I think it has to do with
also rode the bench for a couple of years behind the linebacker.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with what Dallas did afterwards too. And you know, what he means to Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. Being a first round pick, it helps. Catching touchdown passes from Peyton Manning, that's also pretty cool.
That really helped. Yeah, the Colts thing, that all really helped. Chris Murray is coming back. Back to Iowa City, which is good.
After my accident, I called Hupie and
okay, Abraham. With this, the ads on the fucking video. Trying to just look at Chris's stats. Iowa basketball might be in trouble next year without Chris, but they have Chris. What's wild is He was probably going to get drafted in the second round, like somewhere in the second round this year.
But that means a lot less money and a very good
second round draft picks, like only make the team less than half the time. I think,
right? I realize exactly.
There are a lot of times they're going to the G League for a little bit.
No, and I know that. I just think it's crazy that someone was going to get drafted who averaged 9.7 points a game, 65% free throw shooter.
But when you're genetically the same as a lottery pick, I think that's kind of what
that's what holds the weight.
Exactly.
It's crazy how like low key he was this year, and he was still on the edge of going to the NBA. Like it's talk about basketball and football being a different game. Like that doesn't really you're not just like on the edge of like you kind of start sometimes every once in a while and you're very average statistically and then you might get drafted. Like
yeah, but that doesn't happen in basketball either. Like there's 32 teams, 30 or 32 teams.
I think it's 32.
There's 64.
No, I think it's 30.
Yeah. Is it just 30 and then yeah.
Whatever. 60 draft picks. There yeah, there's guys that'll go to a program, start 4 years, set all sorts of records, and then not even get sniffed by the NBA.
I know it's just weird. It's a weird sport. They pick very much so based on potential and how different it's because NBA basketball is a different game than college basketball. And NFL football is not so different from college football. Not too much. It's weird. So good for Hawks. Good for the Hawks. Chris Murray is returning. I wish Keegan was too. We'd be insane. Either of you, I guess, Drake, you're probably not because evidently you're going to see old Tommy Cruz. But any of you going to watch the Brady Rodgers versus Mahomes Allen tonight?
I think I will. Yeah.
Las Vegas playing a little golf.
What is there any line?
throw a little action on it.
Your mic just went and switched to the internal, but I would almost guarantee that there's action.
It's in Vegas for a reason.
Yeah, I would bet there is. Are you looking it up right now, Kev?
No, I'm trying to fix my microphone.
Okay, I appreciate you. And so do the fans. Drake, were you able to get any of the crumbles that we talked about yesterday?
Yeah, man. I got them all except for the brownie, which is funny because that's the number one you rated. I got – so I completely disagree with your scores.
What?
Because what you're saying is that chocolate chip cookie, the chocolate chip cookie dough,
yeah.
You're saying that is a – C cookie, a 77% C. So you either didn't eat it frosting side down on your tongue, which if you didn't, then you just don't know how to eat a cookie. Because if you didn't put the frosting side down when it said it was cookie dough frosting, you're a complete total scrub. So that's first of all. But also you're a scrub because rating that a C is asinine.
We don't rate on... I am not in any way rating that on a scholastic scale where if it's
using the pizza scale,
I'm using the pizza scale.
It's a better scale.
Yeah. Where like more generally 4 and below is bad. 4 to 5
is your dead center average cookie.
Yeah. Whereas like a C, like a 75 or an 80 might be the average in a academic situation. That's 5 out of 10 on the food rating scale. So it's a little bit slid.
Passing grade. There's nothing to write home about.
Yeah. So 7, anything in between 7 and 8 is starting to get to very good. And then anything over
B plus.
Yeah. Over 8 is like great. And then anything over 9 is out of this world. So I didn't think that the chocolate, I thought it was too sweet. Too sweet.
The chocolate?
The cookie dough frosting. Oh, yeah, I just thought it was too sweet. And I was disappointed with the s'mores because it wasn't as graham crackery.
I completely agree with your grant, not enough graham cracker, but the s'mores was delicious.
It was still great. Still good cookies.
And when I put the s'mores and the chocolate chip cookie dough together, holy shit.
I mean, they're still great cookies, man. Pink donut was good. And I wish you
see, I got two pink donuts because of how much I love donuts. And just because I looked at the walnut one and I was like, man, this just doesn't look that good. And the last time I got a chocolate one from there, it wasn't that good.
And this
so
one was,
and I was like, man, I love donuts. So let me get 2 donuts.
Yeah. And the chocolate, the base of this cookie was actually brownie instead of cookie. And that's what made it better. And then the chocolate drizzle on top and the walnuts was, I mean, it was good, man. It was real good. So, and I know that people in the Discord were sending in, several people had went and got their pack of the 5 flavors as well. So,
which is crazy, dude. We have to start getting like actual help from these companies for this. We are advertising with these people for free.
Talk about influencers. We're food influencers. We are dessert.
You gotta start giving us a 4-pack a week.
And the thing is people know we won't lie about food. Just as like that's real. We're doing that on our own dime because we love eating that shit.
See, here's the thing. I called that chocolate chip cookie dough one a 9, bro. When I put that frosting down on my tongue and ate it like that, I was like, dude, this is incredible.
I'm not gonna disagree. For me, it was like, God damn, if I eat this whole cookie, I might shit my pants. Like I'm going to throw up.
I totally agree with your s'mores rating. And what was the other one? I only got 3. I only got 3.
You so didn't have the chocolate. Donut,
yeah. The donut, you were right. It's just a sugar cookie.
A very good sugar cookie, but nothing out of this world. Right. But very good sugar cookie.
Very good sugar cookie.
Let's answer some questions. I dug into the Twitter and the Discord a little bit. Kev, you answered one in the Discord. It was, what's the best tell we ever got? And we were talking, it was because we were talking about the Marques episode, or the guy was watching the Marques episode and listening to how Marques sort of had a jump on the cadence. And you responded Penn State in 17. Any others you remember that were close to that good throughout our time? I know I kind of have one that we actually got Nebraska on PAT field goal unit. There was a guy who was real jumpy off the edge, and he was, it's not so much a tell, more just this guy will jump and try and read a count. And so I got him on an offsides. It's the one where he fucked up Keith and then we re-kicked it, or I think we made it and we just took it. But yeah, we got like 5 yards closer on a field goal against Nebraska.
I'm trying to think of any other tells that we got.
Drake, were there any offensive tells that you guys had on defense?
Shit, I'm sure, dude. Our offense sucked ass.
No. I mean,
no.
On the defenses that you were playing against,
your opposing scout team.
Do you ever remember a line like, you know, looking at a linebacker that you were going to have to block and knowing that, like, if this happened,
I will remember. I don't know why we were watching this, but watching Michigan's defense in 2013, they were doing a double A gap blitz, you know, like the linebackers go stand in the A gap.
Yep.
If they were coming, then the outside leg was forward. If they were dropping back into coverage, the inside leg was forward.
That's nice.
I don't remember why we were watching that, but I just remember watching it. Phil Parker just casually, this guy's not coming. Look, inside foot up, drops back into coverage. Two plays there, outside foot's up, he's going.
Did you ever see any of that when we were in punt core, where like looking at the guy you were going to be across from, you could ever pick up on something small or like, you know, if he was, I don't know.
Never had any tells like of watching the film. You can tell by people's demeanor. Yeah. Generally sometimes what they're going to do.
The movie. Oh God, what was it? Oh, it's Mark Wahlberg. I'm pretty sure. It's the one where,
the one where he tries out for the Eagles.
Yeah. What's it fucking called, man?
Invincible.
Yeah.
He's looking at his knuckles and they're white because they're not white because his weight isn't on them. And so he blows past the guy. Like it's little stuff like that. That's cool. Like that was a cool little aspect to that movie.
Yeah. People wear gloves now. So
yeah. I mean,
but plus you can read that. You should be able to tell if your guy's standing 2 feet from you, if his weight's on his heel,
yeah,
or it's on his toe.
If you're observant enough and you know as an athlete what it looks like when you're head forward, ready to go forward, or you're kind of on your heels, then you can tell what that looks like from another guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know you had on John Wiz, but didn't really talk about faith opportunities within the program. I assume there is FCA and Athletes in Action, but were there other team specific things that guys and coaches did? Wasn't there like a Sunday?
A bunch of the athletes would get together for what's called Athletes in Action. It might've been Sunday. I don't remember. One night of the week.
Fridays there was like
Bible study. The team guys on the team would do a Bible study on Friday afternoons.
No, before the game there would be like Jordan Canzeri used to do it, like chapel before the team captain would speak on Fridays during the season. We always said
Brother Miles would lead us in grace and dinner the night before.
Yeah. Miles would.
That was Reverend Miles.
Rev Miles.
Nah, Brother Miles.
For sure. If we would have made it to the league, or if we hit the lottery today, what would be the first car that we would buy?
Rolls Royce. Phantom.
A Royce.
Phantom. See, I'm not a huge car guy. Honestly.
I ain't either.
But I'm really interested in the F-150 Lightning.
You're going to buy an F1 car?
F-150,
you dirtbag.
The electric version of the Ford F-150.
Okay. Hey, but low key, I might buy an F1 car. I was watching.
I'd buy a Tesla Plaid for sure.
Oh, dude, the Plaid is sick.
But that would be my second car. My first one would be the Rolls Royce.
I'm not a car guy. I don't know cars.
Yeah, I'm not a huge car guy. I love the idea of the frunk, though, in those electric cars. You get
the frunk.
They call it a frunk, the front trunk. Yeah, and
damn, she got that frunk on her.
Yeah, I was just gonna say things you want your car to have, but not your.
She got that front trunk.
She got a frunk. Oh man, that's funny. Yeah,
be awesome for tailgating too. You don't have to bring generators or mess around with any of that stuff.
True, true. Speaking of tailgating, one of the questions was, when you are indulging yourself in a tailgate, what is the go-to drink and the go-to food?
What time of day is it?
Go-to drink is anything THC infused, and go-to food is anything that Beef Ward is cooking.
Okay. What time of day is going to make the difference?
That's going to affect the drink and the food, actually, too.
All right. Well, let's go with a morning game, 11 o'clock kick. Everyone loves it.
What time is it?
Beef's breakfast.
It's about 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
Kevin's got a drink.
And a screwdriver. We're having a screwdriver right then.
Okay.
In about half hour, we're going to have our first Bloody Mary. And then it's usually beers after that.
I'd be having a cup of black coffee for sure.
I'm drinking water. And that's the tech guy answer. Just is what it is. Food. I will say this. Kevin's parents would bring donuts, just simple chocolate frosted donuts, to the tailgate. And Beef always saved one for me because he knows how much I love donuts. And they weren't like the best donuts in the world by any means, but they were damn good chocolate frosted donuts. I love a good breakfast burrito on game day if I can get one. I will say, Kev, that this year, one of the meals at the Ward tailgate was meatballs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And boy, were they good. Holy
beef
shit.
Balls.
They were some.
I love me a good old big meatball. My favorite, though, is whenever we're playing Minnesota, my dad gets these pork chops.
A lot of pig comes out.
I think your dad. Were you? You might not. I don't know if you were.
I wasn't there, but my dad was.
And he had two of them son bitches just by the bone.
Oh, man.
Chomping on them.
That's too bad that my dad wasn't there because he loves a pork chop.
Yeah. Man, these are some good pork chops.
So does Todd.
Yeah. They're nice and thick and juicy. And yeah, we break those out for Florence. That's one of my favorites. I also love a good steak sandwich on game.
I was just going to say a sandwich, a good sandwich. I mean, we had like some bomb chicken, avocado, cheesy sandwiches this year at your tailgate, at the Ward tailgate as well. But a steak sandwich sounds.
I don't think I was there for that one.
You weren't. Lauren and I were there.
You know, I'm actually really sad. I just found out this week. I am not going to be there for the Iowa State game.
Wow. You're going to miss the Cy-Hawk series.
I am not happy about it. One of my good friends is getting married that day.
Oh no.
He got engaged a couple weeks ago.
Just like Kobe.
And he got engaged a couple weeks ago and they're scheduling the wedding for 4 months from now?
September 10th. And I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, so you have really stupid friends too.
Man, dude, this is all my friends now. Apparently. Football season and wedding season are the same thing now because I had the same thing last year. I had two weddings during the football season last year, and now I've got two during football season this year.
Technically, how long have you been dating her?
Two of them are on the same day.
That's fucked.
How long have you been dating her?
A long time.
And they couldn't. All right. And they couldn't wait a year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, man, you took so long to propose to her. You couldn't wait another 4 months to actually get married. God right. Damn.
I mean, Lauren and I have been back and forth since high school. We had a 2 year to the day engagement. We were engaged for two whole years. It ain't going nowhere, you know? And now they just put I tell you what, his wife to be is stressed as hell for the next 4 months. I know
she's actually the one pushing, I think.
Well, she's regardless.
All their friends are pissed. I hope he knows
that. Everybody's pissed.
I hope she knows that. I hope she's happy. Oh, yeah. I hope your day is great because it sucks for all of us.
Yeah,
dumb broad. At least it's late. It doesn't start till like 7, so I'll be able to watch the whole game, but not in Kinnick.
That is tough. Someone asked if we're actually ever going to get a Kevin one-liner t-shirt.
What would you put on it?
Well, there's people love, I know, I see it. There's a UFC match going on for those that love the dog tent, the dog content. There's a true battle going on. And it honestly looks like Bane is just playing with his food.
I hope that was fun for the people watching because that's great content.
They just, Kevin, there's a bunch of one-liners that you've had, and they're wondering if we're going to ever put one on a shirt. The most popular one is Iowa or KF doesn't need Iowa. Iowa needs KF.
Hey, we could put that on a shirt, right?
You probably put that on a shirt. I mean, someone would probably tell us that we have to get that one approved, and I'd just say, fuck them, because... There were some other ones too. I mean, there's been some good one-liners.
Yeah, I said a lot of stuff on this podcast, probably to the detriment of my career, but whatever. Yeah,
I think last year during...
Dude, you already the CEO. How much richer do you need to get?
Yeah, what do you want, Kevin? More.
I want it all, man. I want it all. This grimy bastard.
Grimy. Dude.
Don't want his black belt or he'd have learned how to tap.
Wow, hilarious.
True.
Which big football, big meaning Big Ten football coach, do you feel you are most similar to and why?
Say that again.
Which Big
Bobby
Ten?
Knight.
No. Which Big
That's
Ten?
That's my answer.
That's not an answer.
That's my answer. He asked which coach I'm most like. My answer is Bobby Knight. Shut up, you motherfucker.
Okay.
Was that not Bobby Knight-ish?
Bobby Knight did coach in the Big Ten for a little bit.
Yeah, he did. It said football coach. But...
Did not coach football. Are you most like?
How long do you think Bobby Knight would last today? two days before someone complained?
Yeah, now that's... That age is, yeah, you toss a chair at a guy and I think you get, I don't think that flies anymore.
Dude. I'm all for, you know, people feeling safe, and obviously Iowa went through everything they did and people feeling like they're seen and given fair opportunities and not demeaned or all that. But there is something good going away with the guys who were true hard asses and that just drove to get the best out of everybody that way. I mean, there's something special that goes, there's a lot of like bullshit that goes away with it too, but I don't know.
It's a little demeaning. Gotta demean them a little bit, bring them back down to earth. Can't let them get too high.
I agree. Well, I would never compare myself to KF.
You're not like KF. So I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
You know who you are? Let's each do each other.
Oh, fuck.
Move.
Okay. Hit me with it. I know where you're going, but hit me with it.
I'm deciding right now.
Between who?
You might be a little Scott Frosty.
What?
What? I don't know, man. Scott Frost vibes.
Wow. Is that better?
You know who I get? Hey. Kluver is pure-blooded. Guys.
I mean, PJ Fleck is the easy answer. But
PJ Fleck, there's the answer. PJ Fleck.
I think he's got a little Scotty Frost.
I don't know what's worse, PJ Fleck or Scott Frost.
He's PJ Fleck, period.
Yeah, fine, you're PJ Fleck. Drake. Who the
Drake?
You might be Brett Bielema. Kluver, thoughts?
I don't disagree. It's hard to pin Drake because he's
smoked worse.
I think that Drake is the least like
Bert.
Yeah, I think
Bert anti-bulimia.
Well, who else would it be? Who would you choose?
I don't know. I don't even know.
You're Brett Bielema.
I think I'm like.
I don't know, man.
Who screams a lot, man?
Brian.
I'm Brian, dude. Honestly, I don't
Kevin,
know.
Mel Tucker, Kevin, for you,
is he a red faced guy?
Kevin, for you, I would say like Ryan Day or Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, no.
Yeah, man.
I guess I could see Ryan Day, not Harbaugh.
Kevin, you're a stiff cunt in khaki pants.
You, yeah.
I'm not wearing khaki pants. My pack.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, not Harbaugh.
We're all hurt so bad.
I mean, we all just got insulted. What do you want from
us? So tough. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, drop your opinion on Twitter. We'll create a conversation here. And if you're part of the walk-on army, drop it in the Discord. We want to hear your thoughts. All three of us, roast us like a pig during Minnesota week. But it has to be legit.
Who do you think you are the most PJ Fleck out of any of us?
You want to know what hurts the most is if I were to actually compare myself real to somebody, I would also say PJ Fleck. And that hurts. That hurts bad.
I mean, you also look exactly like the guy.
I got a way better beard than he can grow, but yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
And you act just like the guy.
I know. I have
was a long snapper with a fucking fitness account.
Yeah.
He'd be the same guy.
Yeah. I've got fitness specialist energy. And so does PJ.
Hey, speaking of fitness specialist energy, shout out to Ryan Kolka for signing up for unlimited jiu-jitsu membership at Nashville MMA this morning.
That's unreal.
Wow.
I heard he came in and got smoked on in his first day because, to be honest, Nashville MMA ain't no joke. Well, supposedly, he tells this story to the strength coach that he's been training in Thailand for 6 months.
What?
Okay, they don't do jiu-jitsu out there.
Oh, of course they do. They do it all.
So is he great at
jiu-jitsu? Is from Brazil.
Is he a Muay Thai champion?
Jiu-jitsu is from Japan.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu is from Japan?
Brazilians, because they like to be very possessive and act like they are the kings, they added Brazil to jiu-jitsu. But yes, it was originating in Japan.
Oh, look at Drake on the history side of things, huh?
Interesting. Yeah.
But I'm sure they teach, because in Thai fighting, there's a grappling aspect to it. A lot of it stops when you go to the ground, especially in competition, but they don't stop their teaching. So you have some grappling, at least experience. But yeah, you're right. It's not the exact same, and it doesn't exactly translate, but it's...
All right, so wait, let's back up one step here. Ryan Kolka spent 2 years in Thailand?
No, I think he said 6 months. Again, this is secondhand that I'm hearing this, but he claimed to the strength coach that he spent like 6 months in Thailand training his ass off, and now he's back here and he's like addicted to martial arts. Again, I'm hearing this secondhand, and as soon as I see the guy, I'm going to be like, Kolka, explain this to me.
You think
you can beat up John Loudermilk? Because I have text messages. I have text messages from Macon that I got to find this, because this is going to make you laugh.
I know where this ends, and it's Drake and Kolka walking in for the same time slot at Nashville MMA and them rolling together and Kolka not winning.
I said, Kolka just signed up for jits at my gym right now. I said, do me a favor, throw that motherfucker around for me. I said, that's the only guarantee I can make for you. I said, the first one's for Pleb, then the next one's for Cox, the third one's for Wiseman, the fourth one's for me. And he said, I remember him saying something to Loudy because he's been training. Right in front of him, he goes to some chick that he can probably kick Loudy's ass. Johnny looks at him and says, Kolka, you can train for 10 years and you will never beat my ass.
That's an incredible story. You think Loudermilk would come on the podcast?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
you think he's willing to talk like that much, though?
He's not a talker.
He works for Stryker. He has to.
Oh, he does?
True. Yeah, he works for Stryker over in Des Moines.
Oh, Kevin, hit him up.
I will.
Okay. Because no doubt, when we played with him, he was a quiet guy. He was quieter.
Except amongst his friends.
Unless he was with Ray and Dean and...
Yeah. Dean.
Dude, those three, those three lived in a house together. And I think Lowe might have lived there too for a period of time. And so have I ever told
the openitis?
Okay. There might,
that's just one name you bring up, and I just think back and just laugh to myself.
Unbelievable. So I don't know if I've ever told this story. It's less of a story and more of just a quote. And it kind of scarred me. And I understand that they were joking, but I will never forget it. It's 2013 camp. Okay. We've been there. I mean, Kevin, I know you don't remember it because you've the trauma has blocked it from your memory. But we're in the old locker room, right? Built like an eye. For those that don't know, our old locker room was built like in the shape of an eye. There's an offensive side and a defensive side, I believe.
In theory, but no.
It kind of got jumbled. Yeah. I'm over. So Loudermilk and Ray Hamilton are on my side. And I'm walking from my locker over to the door to go out into the lounge. And I hear Johnny go to Ray. Hey, Ray, how many times do I have to, or no, if I itch my butthole and it feels good, does that make me gay?
Holy shit. And what did Ray say?
Or I definitely know he asked how many times. So I think it was something like, how many times do I itch my butt, itch my own butthole and it feels good before I'm officially gay or something like that. And I'm sorry for putting you on blast like that, Johnny Loudermilk, but you said that in jest as a joke to Ray Hamilton, and Ray did not break a single smile and gave you a legitimate answer. Like, pondered it. Like, I don't know, man, like probably 4 or 5 times before it gets pretty suspect. And I'm 19 years old and trying to figure out like how to be an Iowa football player. And this is the conversation that's going on.
That's it right there. That's it. That's how to be an Iowa football player.
Johnny Loudermilk asked Ray Hamilton that question in 2013. And it will stay in my brain forever. So
that's all time.
That's locker room talk for you. And that is an episode. Drake, you're going to see the movie
Top Gun.
And there's the doggo right there. Bang. Look at him. Fix your ear, bud.
That dog is prestige.
Yeah.
He is so damn smart. He understands the human language.
He's MW2 10th prestige.
Not quite, but he's prestiging.
Okay. Kev, thanks for hopping on as always.
Also, you guys will think this is funny. This is a funny way to end this on Bane. I've had him for 8 weeks and I calculated that he's eaten approximately 75 pounds of food.
Well, that's absurd.
Almost 10 pounds a week, which is pound and a half day ish.
Pretty good. A lot of food.
Good. It's good for a,
which I think it might even be more than that. I think I'm under calculating the wet food because I just know how much the dry food in bags weighs.
Are you also calculating the food that he steals from what's the other one? Mila.
Oh, from Mila. Oh man. There's a potential that he's eaten upwards of like 90 pounds of food.
He's eaten 100 pounds of food in 8 weeks.
So he's eating like 2% of his body weight a day.
Dude.
I'd love to eat.
This kid just can't eat enough.
That's insane. Well, hope everybody enjoyed the episode. We've got a list of people we're trying to bring on. We actually had a text message of 6 or 7 guests that we are trying to get on here. So as you will, maybe you'll hear from those guests or maybe you won't. Thanks for listening to the show brought to you by DRF Sports. Shout out to the boys. Until next time, which will be Monday, we'll see you then. Peace.
Peace.